da di da di da da di da, da di da di da da di da. What do you hear over the air? CQ serenade. So you don't know just what it means. Dust your shoes off, shake out your jeans. Get on your feet, jump to the beat of CQ serenade.
Welcome to the outreach program. This is presented to you by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This is the technician class that we will be doing this evening. Let's make an adjustment here. Okay, here we go. Welcome to the outreach program sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and further assist those wishing to obtain license status. This event will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for a technician class license. This course will be conducted 2 sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. 2300 Zulu each Tuesday and at 7 p.m. 2300 Zulu each Sunday evening. For those that are already licensed and wish to just have a refresher course and would just like to listen, please connect to our SCARS, that's S-C-A-R-S server, at either EchoLink node number 96140, IRLP node 9614, or All-Star node 27404. Letting it drop. For those who are interested in obtaining your license for the first time, please contact Mike, KD0CDQ, via email at VOIP at SCARS VOIP, which is SCARSVOIP.com, to enroll in the class and be given directions as to the study material required and the manner you will be connected into the course. The material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in the presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made and in keeping with not interrupting the class and session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at VOIP at scarsvoip.com. It should be mentioned that this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing sessions on this server, please drop us an email at VOIP at SCARS, VOIP, that's SCARSVOIP.com. The session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website at www.scarsvoip.com. Now this evening, we are getting the questions up here. There they are again. Tonight we will have KY6B Gordon and K6SU and Kathy presenting the questions and giving us the answers. So we will start this evening with Gordon. So Gordon, it's all yours. Take it away. KD0CDQ, over to you.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. Good evening to you, sir. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get started this evening, I'd like to go over a couple of the important points mentioned here on our first class on Sunday, if you don't mind. First, I'd like to have you remember that the correct answer to each question is found just to the right of the question number on your pool question material. Second, remember to not memorize the alpha designators found before each possible answer. As stated on Sunday, and I'll state it again, there will be changes on your final exam. The question will be identical. The answer verbiage will be identical. They'll just move around those answers so that you don't memorize the designator. Thirdly, try to pick up something out of the question that you can remember and relate to in the correct answer. And fourth, please read and review the questions assigned to you before each class. This way, it'll give you an opportunity to ask any questions during the actual class period. Okay, with that all said and done, let's get started here. Allow me to reset everybody's timers, and we'll put this in go posture. Okay, this is KY6V for South Cars, Technician Class 2018. The first question tonight is T1, F as in Foxtrot, 02, T1, F02. And that question reads, when using tactical identifiers such as race headquarters during a community service net operation, how often must your station transmit the station's FCC assigned call sign? Now that's a very good question, and all of us at one time or another are going to get involved in some of these activities, and we're going to be using tactical identifiers, but we have to be legal at the same time. Now you have answers at A, B, C, and D under this question. I'm not going to read them all. The correct one is C as in Charlie. And that reads, at the end of each communication and every 10 minutes during a communication. Now, the best way to remember this, at least in my mind, is identify with your call sign at the end of a contact and every 10 minutes during a contact. That's just very simple to remember. When you're finalizing and going bye-bye on a contact, you have to identify, because that will be your last transmission. And every transmission during the period that you're talking with somebody should be identified every 10 minutes. Okay, any comments or questions on that or anything else before we turn it over to Kathy and let her roll with her first question, please? KY6V, call now. Okay, hearing nada. Ms. Sunshine, good evening. I understand your day was not too bad there in the funny farm called the school department. KY6V, go ahead, Kathy.
All right, thanks so much, Gordon. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Last time we all got together, it was Sunday evening. I hadn't yet started the school year with children. That started yesterday, Monday. Today was the second day. I started off Monday with supposedly 18 students. I've ended today with 21. But of all those, ladies and gentlemen, only about 7 appeared. So I'm still looking for the other 14. All right, let's get started with my question. When is an amateur station? Well, first of all, let me give you the number, and let me just pause for a moment because I don't want a timeout. All right, I'm going to ask the question Tango 1 Foxtrot 03, and it reads, when is an amateur station required to transmit its assigned call sign? And this is a very similar question that Gordon just had. And the answer is a delta, at least every 10 minutes during and at the end of a communication. Very similar question and answer that Gordon just gave you. This is the same answer, like I said, as the previous question. Another way to think about it is this is how you can start transmitting and talking for 10 minutes legally before you're required to identify. Since we've gone through those two questions and had no answers, Gordon, I'm going to turn it over to you for the next question.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kathy. I'm doing double tasking here on the screen. Let me bring EchoLink up to make sure that I'm transmitting, and it looks like I am. Okay, guys and gals, we're going into T1F07 next. T1F07, and that reads, which of the following restrictions apply when a non-licensed person is allowed to speak to a foreign station using a station under the control of a technician class control operator. Now, I don't know if that needs to be reread or not, but there's a lot of answers here from A to D, but there's only one correct one, and you can see that it's B as in Bravo, and that reads, the foreign station must be one with which the U.S. has a third-party agreement. This is very, very important. Although not needed for this test, there are lists available on the Internet, particularly at the ARRL file system, that tell you what countries you cannot communicate with, and further, which countries allow the use of third-party traffic. I think we touched on this last Sunday, and I would recommend wholeheartedly as you start to operate on the bands that you print out a copy of that, keep it handy, put it in a desk drawer or something, you can pull it out and refer to it as the need presents itself. Any questions or comments on that, please, from KY6V. Okay. Miss Kathy, looks like we're staying in the... now we're moving into the 2 department and the Alpha section. Your call. Over.
You're right. The question number is Tango 2, Alpha 01. T2A01. And it reads, which of the following is a common repeater frequency offset in the 2-meter band? And, you know, there's quite a few answers here, plus or minus 5, 600, 500, 1. They're all either kilohertz or megahertz. But the correct answer is actually Bravo, plus or minus 600 kilohertz. And this will become just second nature to you as you start to use the different bands. You should probably memorize the following. Repeater spacing is 10 meters equals 100 kilohertz, 6 meters equals 1 megahertz, 2 meters equals 600 kilohertz, and 7 centimeters equals 5 megahertz. All right, with that, any questions, any comments from Kilo 6 Sierra United November? All right, hearing nothing, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to turn it to you, KY6C.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. You know, on that last question, and I've got a similar one coming up here, those frequencies that you, offsets that she gave you are normal. But there are some exceptions. There are some places here in the United States particularly that use what I call an oddball offset. One that they've picked themselves to get out of the main line of traffic, I guess. So there is no rule written that this is what it should be, other than it is supported by your frequency coordinators when you are registering for repeater operation. Okay, let's go on to my next question, and that is T2 Alpha 03, T2A03, and it reads, very similar to Kathy's, what is the common repeater frequency offset in the 70 centimeter band? Now the 70 centimeter band is also referred to as the 440 band. Again, we mentioned here on Sunday, it's a good idea if you print out the band plan chart that we've given you in the support material that's on our website for the class. And that'll give you a quick reference on what we're talking about here. Okay, the question again was, what is the common repeater frequency offset in the 70 centimeter band? The proper answer is A as in alpha, which is plus or minus 5 megacycles. And again, the same as Kathy had, I'll read it again. You know, memorize. 10 meters is 100 kc. 6 meters is 1 megahertz. 2 meters is 600 kc. And 70 centimeters is 5 megahertz. But again, you'll get to learn that very quickly. Any questions, please? KY6V. Okay, Mademoiselle, we've got a quiet front out there. We're going to be speeding along here tonight, and that's probably good in one respect. Go ahead, Kathy, and thank you.
All right, if you look in the text box, there is a cute little comment from Paul in 1FCZ about your technical term, oddball offset. So maybe on the next round you'll respond to that nice little comment in the text box. All right, my question is Tango 2 Alpha 06, T2 Alpha 06. And it reads, which of the following is required when making on-the-air test transmissions? And I think this is a very easy answer. It's Alpha. Identify the transmitting station. So which of the following is required when making on-the-air test transmissions? You merely identify the transmitting station. So just remember that all transmissions need to be identified every 10 minutes or at the end of a final transmission. Any comments? Any questions from Kilo 6 Sierra United November? Okay, looks like no questions. And like you said, they're very, very quiet there. But I think your question is going into the Bravo section. So it's your turn.
It is. Thank you, Kathy. Hi, Paul. Oddball. We'll talk about this for a moment. You know, some people just have to be different. The oddball in the crowd. But, you know, I've had some friends. I learned that word from friends that grew up in Philadelphia. And I won't take that any further. Guys and gals, Paul's from Philadelphia. KY6V, and that's N1SEZ we're talking about. My next question is T2 Bravo 02, T2 B02, and it reads, What term describes the use of a subaudible tone transmitted along with normal voice audio to open up the squelch of a receiver? Now, this is getting a little technical, but it's very interesting, and it's commonplace. It's used all the time. I'm going to read that question again. What term describes the use of subaudible tone transmitted along with normal voice audio to open the squelch of a receiver? And they give you the answers: A, carrier squelch; B, tone burst; C, DTMF; and D, CTCSS. Isn't that a mouthful? And the answer is D, CTCSS. And let me explain that stands for continuous tone coded squelch system. And the way that guy works, it's a subaudible tone. For all due respects, you don't hear it on the transmission from the operator, but it's able to be detected by your receiver and operate in the fashion of turning things on and off at the prescribed time. CTCSS, and that should not be confused with DTMF, which is dual tone operation, such as your telephones and your control pads on your microphones and so on. We'll get to that later in the course. Any questions on this, please? KY6V. Okay, Kathy, we're staying in the Bravo department. Go ahead, please. KY6V.
All right, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And I really like this question, and I probably will say this has happened to many of us, whether we know it's happening at the time or not. But my question is Tango 2 Bravo 05. What might be the problem if a repeater user says your transmissions are breaking up on the voice peaks? You know, we all talk too loud at times. It happens to the best of us. But what would happen? So the actual answer is, Charlie, that you're talking too loudly. You know, talking too loudly or overmodulating is when the audio level is just too high for the rest of the system and causes the waveform to become distorted. So I would throw the question out there, how many have had that problem in their ham career? Are there any questions, any comments? All right, Gordon, I guess no one's going to say they've had that happen to them, so I'm going to throw your direction, and we're actually heading into the C-section.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. Well, you know, that happens two ways. You either get rambunctious and you're talking too loud into the microphone, or you have your audio gain on the microphone turned up too high. You're talking normally, but the added amplification that you've cranked in causes the same problem. So there's a couple of ways to look at that. All right, I'm moving into T2 Charlie 02. We are now in the Charlie section. T2C02, and it reads, what is meant by the term NCS? Used in net operation. This is close to our heart because we run a lot of nets here on our SouthGuard server. The answers that are given, A, normal control system, B, net control station. That's the correct answer, incidentally. C, national communication standard and normal communication syntax. Just roll it back to B. It's net control station. And a net control station is a person that controls the activity during a net or program activity. And their job is to keep things running smoothly and efficiently. So that makes it a little simple. Any questions or comments on that, please? Okay, Miss Sunshine, KY6V, you're up.
All right, thanks so much. And before I do my question, I'll go back to that question about talking too loudly, Gordon. You know, my children in school always tell me I talk very softly. I don't get agitated. I'm very calm. And so when I sit them down at any time that I feel they've done something wrong and have my little conversation, they say, you're not very nice today. You're talking too loudly. I guess it's just at times our voice goes above being calm. Let me pause a moment before I go into my question. All right, my question is T2 Charlie 04, and it reads, what do Rhesus and Aries have in common? And actually the answer, there's quite a few answers there, but the correct answer is Delta. And it is, both organizations may provide communications during emergencies. We probably would have a lot of those during our hurricane season. So answer again is, both of these organizations, Aries and Rhesus, may provide communication during emergencies. So Rhesus and Aries are ham specially trained and certified to handle emergency services. So, any questions, any comments before I turn it over to Gordon? This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is the technician course on a Tuesday evening. All right, Gordon, I'm hearing nothing out there. I think we are winding it down. I think this is your last question, and I think we've gone into a different section. I think it's T3, so go right ahead.
Thanks, Kathy. And you know, that's we're coming up on one of my favorite questions, too. Guys and gals, T3A04. T3A04. And it reads, what can happen if the antennas at opposite ends of a VHF or UHF line of sight radio link are not using the same polarization. Okay? Polarization being normally referred to in antennas is either vertically polarized or horizontally polarized. There's a couple of other types in there too, but those are the two major ones. There's circular polarization, so on and so forth. I'm going to read that one more time because this is important to remember. What can happen if the antenna at opposite ends of a VHF or UHF line of sight radio link are not using the same polarization? Okay, now there's four answers here. There's only one that's correct, and you can see it's B as in Bravo, and that reads, signals could be significantly, I underline that, significantly weaker if they're not polarized the same between the two stations. Let's talk about this for a moment. This is an important consideration. For example, two stations on 2 meters VHF who are oppositely polarized will lose 26 dB of signal. Now what does that mean? If you compare this loss to the signal strength meter on your receiver, it would be equal to over 5 S units of signal. So it's a bunch. If the stations were receiving an S5 signal, had they both been on the same polarization, they would now both be in the noise level, hard to copy, in the noise level, when they are running different polarizations. Now that polarization factor changes a little bit with frequency, okay? It's not as bad as you're lower than, that example is on 2 meters. It's not as bad as you go down into the longer wavelength bands, and it gets worse as you get up higher into the UHF and so on region. Okay, any questions, comments, or good for the order KY6V? Call now. Okay, I thought I'd get somebody pushing on that one, Kathy. What is this, your last one coming up? It sure is. Tango 3A05, looks like KY6V. Go ahead, mademoiselle.
Yes, this is my last question, and this is the last time that all of you will hear me for a while, and because of starting next week are those new instructors, and you may want to share who they are, or Mike may want to do that. But I want to thank everyone for joining us, Gordon and I, as we were your instructors this week. It's been our pleasure to spend this time with you. So here's the question, my last question. It's T3A05, and it reads, when using a directional antenna, how might your station be able to access a distant repeater if buildings or obstructions are blocking the direct line of sight path? And your answer is Bravo. Try to find a path that reflects signals to the repeater. Now, this can be made to happen more times than not. Aim your directional antenna at the high point of a building behind you, or one to the rear, or you either to the left or to the right. Try to aim at something that will reflect, such as a metal awning, a glass window, and as such. So, with that, that's my final question, Gordon and Mike. Any questions, any comments before I throw it over to Gordon for his comments?
This is KD0CDQ with a comment on those last two questions.
All right, Mike, go right ahead.
Where we went with our automobiles to various parts of our community and tried to transmit. We were actually, in case the system went down, that we could always use our radios for a 911 service for the community. Well, we found that our handhelds, which is only, 5 watts, were giving us difficulty to transmit back to the Salvation Army Center where the net controller was. we had to use the auto radios that had 25 watts. So we ran into, even in a very short distance, having our HTs, which are more of a vertical antenna, and the base station has a G5RV, which is horizontal, we were not getting through on our handhelds. So 25 watts in the automobile radios had to be used. So we learned a lesson that don't rely on your 5 watts, even though it's a small community, a small area. They still will give you difficulty. Okay, is there anybody else that has a comment?
I don't know if you lost your audio or you were just keyed up, Mike, but you were keyed with nothing that we could hear. Over.
Okay, is it coming through now, Gordon? Over.
Yeah, you're doing fine, sir. Just let me, while I've got it here, thank everybody for their patience. Kathy and I have certainly enjoyed being with you for the first two classes of this year's technician class. And I want to say that you're going to be in excellent hands come this Sunday and Tuesday. You've got two pros coming up, that being Roger, W4RFJ, and George, NO70. They're both old-timers in the hobby, number one. Number two, they're both amateur extra license class holders, and they've been teachers with us here on the South Cars programs for a long, long time. So, Mike, thank you. Your ribbons when you're ready. KY6V to KD0CDQ.
This is KD0CDQ. In case my last transmission didn't make it, last night we had an Aries drill where we supposed that 9/11 had gone down, the system went down. So we spread to different parts of the city in our automobiles to transmit, pre-planned signals back. And we found that our HTs, which are only 5 watts, were not able to match up to the horizontal G5RV at the Salvation Army where the net controller was. So we learned even in a small area, the 5 watts would not get through. So we had to reverse and use our car radios, which of course have 25 watts, so we were able to communicate with the automobile radios, but not with the handhelds. So that gave us something to realize in the future. You don't have to be a great distance. It doesn't take much for these signals to bounce off of buildings or automobiles and go the wrong way. That's all I've got, and I'm looking forward to next Sunday night, which is August the 19th. And, of course, we'll have N070 will be along with W4RFJ. So we'll have two good operators. And I'm looking forward to that. So in case anybody has a question, throw it at us now, because we're going to be signing off. Thank you, everyone. This is KD0CDQ, about 23 miles southwest of Kansas City, Missouri, in Kansas. That's all I've got. Good evening. KD0CDQ.
Da-di-da-di-da, 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 what do you hear over the air? CQ serenade. So you don't know just what it means. Dust your shoes off, shake out your jeans. Get on your feet, jump to the beat of CQ serenade.